Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Almost Nerdy.
Yes, it is our last week of doing male gaze.
Male gaze.
If you're just tuning in this week, please check out our previous two episodes. We did Captain Marvel as well as Birds of Prey. We've just been having a lot of fun with this because, again, male gaze is originally a film theory about the idea that the lens is literally male perception, straight male perception.
Right.
And that we are basically forcing audiences to view women through that, that male lens. Gaze.
Yeah.
And that lens. So, yeah, it's been great. I've been having a lot of fun with it. I think Sean's been having a good time.
I've been learning a lot. Like, just learning about... I think the biggest thing I've learned is male gaze is specifically a term that's used for film. And I didn't know that because I've heard it in other contexts.
Yes.
And I think it was very interesting to know that, yeah, like there's an actual term. This is a term that was created because of just the sexism and misogyny in the film industry. And that was really educational for me.
I think that. It blew my mind how old this theory is. It's from like the 70s.
Very old.
Like this has been around and it's like just now becoming like a popular thing to discuss.
Right.
And its effects on culture today and the way that we even see how male gaze affects just life in general. And, you know, because movies, they have a big impact.
Very true. And I think, you know, this movie kind of is very much about...
It's Wonder Woman, by the way. We never actually
Wonder
said that.
Movie. It's a Wonder Movie.
It
is a Wonder Movie. This movie is actually very... It shows intention, some sort of intention, to address male gaze. I mean, it does show intention, to be fair. Then we also have some other things that we want to discuss around that. And I'm super excited for some things you pointed out as we're watching it and rewatching it. I think that's something that I'm super excited for everyone to hear. Awesome.
So let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into Wonder Woman.
Yay. All right. Welcome back. We are diving into male gaze in Wonder Woman, or the lack of male gaze, or the presence of male gaze. Awesome.
So we've talked about this on our podcast before. If you followed us, then you know one of the very first conversations that Shalom and I ever had was an argument over Wonder Woman.
That's true.
And if Wonder Woman could ever be a movie. And this is what I think is interesting. When I look back at that argument, I can see like, what I was arguing was optimistic feminism.
Right.
And I think what Shalom was arguing, I think you were actually arguing male gaze. I think you were arguing, because the argument was Wonder Woman would never do well as a movie.
Right.
And I was like, obviously it would. She's a strong woman. Like, that would do great. And to Shalom's point, like, look at the hate that Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, has gotten.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. But I was wrong, too, because I think, for me, my point was, because I was like, yeah, all it ever is just, you know, they show, you know, like, boobs and booty, you know, like, and I was like, yeah, like, it just doesn't go anywhere beyond that, like, Catwoman... You know, like a movie that could have been really, really, really great.
That was a weird movie.
But just over sexualization of women is something that I noticed. I'll be honest, I didn't say it because I was like being an activist or being like I was just saying stuff out of my butt because I like Courtney and I wanted something to talk about. And so like, but yeah, like it was something that over time in our relationship and when Wonder Woman came through. And also we had
it was a success.
And then 2016, 2017, you know, the Me Too movement mm-hmm. took off, and so it's been a great learning experience for me, to be honest. Mm. Yeah,
I mean, but you, I think my point is like you, Shalom tends to be like a skeptic. I would say like you do tend to have these moments where yeah. like you're highly critical and like it, to the point where it hurts sometimes, because it's like Shalom is so raw about the truth sometimes that it hurts. And it's like, to be honest, in 2014 when we met, the climate of Hollywood was not a place where a female superhero solo could do well. Me Too had not happened yet. Like, a lot of, like, progress. Mm. And, like, looking, honestly, yeah. something that's happened, and I think this is because of the Me Too movement, as well as, like, other things as well, looking for diversity within movies, is now a lot of people are asking, who's in the writer's room? Who's right. producing?
Yeah.
Who's directing? Yeah. Like, they want to know who's behind the camera. Yeah. They just don't want to know who's up front. And we talked, yeah. we've talked about this a lot in our, like, in, like, our Black Stories series. We talked about that a lot, where we're like,
right.
like, right. who's writing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yep. you might have a lot of, like, Black actors on screen, but that doesn't mean that the story is coming from
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
You know, Princess of the Frog, great example.
Mm-hmm.
Written by two white men.
Mm-hmm.
I think they tried their best, but, like, it's not the best that you can do. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's why, like, Very when true. You look back, like, a lot of things are products of their time.
Mm-hmm.
So Wonder Woman, for me, I feel very torn over.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many aspects, I really, really love this movie. Like, I love it. Oh, my gosh. When costuming. Her costume is phenomenal. Like, casting, I think, is great.
Mm.
Like, some of her lines, like, where she gets to just be like, women are great. Like, I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. A million times yes.
Yeah.
Just keep going. I love you.
Yeah.
And in other ways, I feel like there's a lot of room for growth. I don't feel like the script is necessarily the strongest. It's okay. It's kind of long. It's kind of a long movie.
The more we watch it, the more critical we are, I think.
Often. Yes.
I think we...
And I think we've also... Now we have other films that we, like, freaking love. Like right. Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm.
Like Captain Marvel. So like good. WandaVision.
So good.
Where you have these lead superheroes who are women... Giving perspectives that are more than just
written by women,
written by women, directed and producers. There's high up producers who are women.
Yeah, that's important.
Which are very, very important things.
Yeah, that's important. I think it's important to almost give a bit of description, especially of what's happening right now in Hollywood. Of saying like it's not like what it used to be, where the director is if the director is A, B, A, that means A has creative control over the whole project and running the whole thing. What's happening nowadays is that the writer's room, it has become the law, basically, as to where the movie is going. The director helps the actors express what he is seeing on paper, what has been given to him by the writers.
Or her,
right? And so that is why it's so important to ask. The biggest question is not just the director. The biggest question is who is in the writing room.
Mm-hmm.
That if you want to know if a movie is really catering or really like there's diversity or they're really letting women lead, ask yourself, what's the balance in the writing room? Mm-hmm. If the writing room has 8 men and 2 women, then you know there's imbalance. If it's a movie that's speaking to women's issues, or I mean just generally, if any movie that's speaking to anything, you know, we're talking about balance of race, balance of gender, balance of, you know, just all kinds of things, right? And so I think that's something that is so important nowadays, to ask those questions with every single type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're seeing right now. Even with Wonder Woman, when we dug a little bit into the bonnet, we saw into the, what you guys call it? Into the engine. Or I don't know what the front thing is you call it.
Oh, the engine, yeah.
When you look under the hood. Like, you know, when you look under the hood, then you're like, what am I seeing? What's happening? That's so important in order to decide if a movie is actually being directed by and being actually led by women. And I think that that's something that they kind of tricked us a little bit with Wonder Woman. I think they didn't really have the balance that would have really helped this movie, you know, or rather they just didn't have the balance. You know, I don't think I can speak as an authority to the messaging of the movie. I think you're more equipped for that. I think the only thing I noticed that I feel that I've been pointing out this week was, yeah, they put a face. Because I remember 2016.
Oh, we were so excited.
We're looking, you know, we're no longer like beginners with this. We're like, oh yeah, they tricked us. They tricked us good, because the people with the actual power who make decisions, it was majority men.
Because the one thing when I look at this movie and now that I know about male gaze and I've kind of like done more exploring with like feminism and kind of underarching themes that you see within pop culture, when you look at this movie, and I think this is where you can see there's clearly a female director.
Right.
There's no, like, there's absolute, I would say there's no male gaze whatsoever.
Right.
Film-wise. Like, right. Visually, no male gaze. Absolutely freaking not.
Right.
But one of the things that really bothers me about this movie and about this script is how naive she is, Wonder Woman.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It really, like, kind of blows my mind in some ways. Mm. And, like, it almost feels ditzy. And I do wonder, did they make her this way in order to have Chris Pine's character kind of like she had to lean on him for a lot of help? And, you know, I was kind of like verbally processing this the other day, and Shalom was like, how are the Amazons any different than like what we see with Wakanda? Like, the Wakandans don't go into like the normal world and like look like doofuses. You know what I mean? Like, why would Wonder Woman not understand, like, maybe I shouldn't be wearing my, like, Amazonian outfit. Like, I need to blend in to get where I need to go. Like, like, why is she so ditzy? And it's, like, that to me is a script flaw. And honestly, it was a way for them to sell her to men.
Right.
Because she's the most powerful. She's literally a god. Like, she's a god.
Right.
She's the god killer. She's the strongest. And the only way that they can make her so that, like, she's, like, attainable in a way, I feel like, is that, like, she's naive.
Right. And like, you know, trying to make her accessible to men. Yes.
And that's part of male gaze. Part of male gaze is that side that's very passive, very, like, moldable. Like, that's part of male gaze.
Yep.
And, like, that's why I feel like, the more I thought about it, I was like, how many women wrote on this? And I think there was one woman writer, but, like, it's majority men. And the story was men.
Right.
So it's like, I think that's why visually you don't have any male gaze. But when I look at the story, like, I can feel it poking through.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think that you definitely, they definitely wanted to make it accessible to men. And just like comic books, when you look at the graphics, they say, come on, we know why they wrote it that way. We know why, you know, they make the female heroes look the way they do.
You know, have you seen the Hawkeye test thing?
Yeah, the Hawkeye test. Yes, that was so good.
Do you want to explain that?
And so basically the Hawkeye test is, so, you know, Black Widow is made to make all these sexual poses.
Not just her, a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Did they replace Black Widow or just anyone?
Anyone. The one that, I know exactly which cover you're thinking about. You're thinking about a cover that had Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Right.
So essentially they're like, if you want to test if your women characters are in too seductive of a pose, replace them with Hawkeye in the same exact pose. And some of the results are pretty funny. If you look up the Hawkeye test, it's funny. Yeah. There's this really, there's like a pretty popular photo of like Mary Jane in like from Spider-Man in like a very seductive looking pose. She's like really got her like boobs out and stuff. Yep, and then they draw like Hawkeye in that same pose. And he looks ridiculous. So it's like, if your male characters look ridiculous in the pose, do not pose your women that way.
Right. Right. Which is a sad way to do it. You know, like it's like, you know, we should know as men, we should know like, hey, come on. Like, that's messed up. Let's not do that, you know. And I think there's something about women by themselves deciding, I am, you know, sexually liberated, right? I can express myself. I can, you know, dress however I want to dress, right? There's something about that. But I think it feels very differently when, like, men are like, you know, look at this woman with, you know, in her, you know, swimming costume or whatever, you know, like, it's very different. It's very different. And I think that's something that was so messed up about the comic book industry. And I'm so glad that Marvel ditched that model very quickly. Like, I'm glad that, like, they reach a point where they're like, oh, okay, it's done. And it does explain a lot about why Captain Marvel is hated the way that they hate her.
Well, because I do wonder...
She was so, you know,
I do wonder if a woman had written... Like, if women, a group of women, have written this character. Oh, I thought of another good example. Watchmen. New Watchmen with... is it Regina King?
Regina King, yeah.
She... As Sister Knight.
Right.
Super strong. Super confident. Right. Like, again, like, I just feel like... I just feel like it's not that your character can't have doubt. It's not that they can't be a little naive. Like, even when you look like Peter Parker is a great example. Like, he's naive, but he's smart.
Right.
You know, like, there's a way to do that. And, like, I understand that, she's supposed to be young and she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
But I think you could argue the same of Captain Marvel. You could argue the same of Wanda. Mm. Wanda's only supposed to be 19 in the first movie. Mm-hmm. 18 or 19 in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And she's still strong. So, like, I do wonder, like, if women have written it. I just feel like they probably would have written Wonder Woman differently.
Mm-hmm. And even in the...
Because she's a big deal. Wonder Woman's a big deal.
Yeah.
She's an icon.
Yeah, she is. And even if they had, you know, if the women writers had decided to take it on the path of showing off, you know, I remember the one line from Birds of Prey where she's like, and from now on it's gonna be short skirts and just something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, and but the way she says it, like, you can tell, like, she's just someone who's having fun. Right, yeah. Having a good time. Was like, I'm so liberated, I'm free, right? And even if it was, hey, I feel sexy, whatever, like, that's her choice. Like, and the way it's framed, it's so, I don't know, it feels different. I can't really put my finger on it, but I think that, yeah, like I'm excited to see more and more of a variety of where there's no pitting the what's called the conservative and the liberated, and pitting those two different types of expressions and having them fight each other. I think both are important, both are great, but I think that us men are the ones who created that environment that's kind of very much like, you know, it's male service, you know? It's that like, basically the concept is that woman is there to entertain me. That cartoon is there to entertain me. That character is there to entertain me. Even both, the fight scenes and also sexually. And I think that's something that, as men, we need to let go of. And actually allow the characters to be what they need to be. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think you're right. Like, these movies speak to real life, too. Like, that's kind of how we are in real life, where it's like, you know, we talked about this last week, where complete strangers can get actually, like, pissed off by a woman who's not smiling. I just don't get that. I don't get, to be honest with you, I understand a lot of things about men, like, as a man, but that one I don't get. I'm like, well, what happened? Like, what made you want to walk across the street and be like, hey, like, I don't like that you're not smiling, you know? Can you smile? I'm like, what the heck? Like, who are you? So weird.
Stop asking people to smile. It's weird. I do want to clarify one thing. like, I feel like you're using the term of like sexually liberated. Like, you can be sexually liberated and dress modestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, I don't know. I don't really know what like the politically correct term
is. I've never thought of that.
But yeah, it's like, like there are, you know, there are women who wear like full like burkas and like they can still be considered sexually liberated. Like that's just their expression of who they are.
Good.
That's
really good. I like that.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I just think, like, however you want to express yourself, just do it, like, whatever.
Yeah,
just
do your thing.
I just think that it's, like, it's society that has, like, taught us that, like, the way a woman dresses is how you're able to treat her as a man.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
That's why.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And that's a very good way. I think there's almost that wanting to find a way to frame stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just be like, okay, you know. Yeah, you could wear mini skirts and you could wear long dress and still be, you both liberated. That's interesting. I think that's such a good one when you're talking about, especially the Arabic community,
mm-hmm.
How we have conversations about them can actually influence how they're treated too. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Thanks for saying that. That's good.
Yeah. Mm. I think the other thing that I do want to talk about is, like, personally for me, the thing, and even when this movie came out, I just felt like there was no reason for a sex scene in this movie.
Mm.
Like, it just didn't need it. And, like, I know, like, it's one of those things that's, like, kind of expected. Like, it's just kind of expected that, like, there's gonna be sex scenes in movies like this. Like, it is what it is. But I just don't feel like it added to the story.
It did not, yeah.
And to be honest, now knowing where they took Wonder Woman, what was it, 84?
84. Oh, like, my God.
Ugh. Like, I'm like, ugh.
They doubled down. I'm like, you're doubling down on this. You're really doubling. You're bringing a guy from the dead just to double down.
I can't even talk about, guys, I can't even talk about Wonder Woman 84. It makes me so furious. That movie, I'm sorry, I do not like Wonder Woman 84. I was very, very disappointed with them because, honestly, the first one's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially, okay, here's the thing. I feel like I hold DC and I hold Marvel on very different standards.
Mm.
I'll put this one with Shazam. Like, it's like Shazam level. Like, it's pretty good for DC, but I would not put it anywhere near a Marvel movie as far as, like, entertainment and, like, wanting to watch it over and over again.
There's a lot of conversation even today, like, about, just a side note, of how Marvel, Disney is considering buying DC.
Mm.
And
I don't know how I feel about that.
And I'm very afraid. I'm afraid, like, I'm not afraid of, I'm afraid that Disney's becoming an evil empire.
Yeah, me too. And I'm like, they already have Star Wars.
And we're going to enjoy every step. And it would be like, you know, Palpatine would be like, the first galactic empire.
And we're clapping. Yeah! Yay!
And I love how Padme, like, that line will forever haunt me. And it says, and that's how democracy dies, with thunderous applause.
That's us. But with,
that's us.
But with Disney buying everything.
We bought DC. Yay! There goes our freedom. Gone. Next thing we're getting hit by, like, dead stars and stuff.
I mean, they bought Star Wars, too. Like, they've got Star Wars, they've got Marvel. Like, I can't imagine them having DC.
Too much. Yeah, part of the deal, you know, just a little gossip, part of the deal might even include Harry Potter. So
Harry Potter. Mm, stop it. They might redeem Harry Potter.
So, if these are rumors, to be honest, these are rumors. I put these in rumor sections. But stuff like this,
as I'm wearing my Ravenclaw shirt,
catches you off guard. Like, sometimes companies will allow these rumors to spread just to see what the public opinion will be.
I mean, look what happened with Spider-Man.
Mm.
Remember when Sony and Disney weren't getting along? I swear they leaked that on purpose so that people would freak out.
Yes.
To make sure.
They leaked it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, they leaked it. And I think part of it is that I think Disney does want to, they can buy anybody, any company. But you have to feel what the public opinion is. And I think DC is ripe for the taking just because of how stupid they have been for the last 4 years. They've just missed 4 or 5 years, or even more, could be longer. They've just made so many bad turns. that the public opinion is kind of open to it. So who knows? Who knows what would happen? It's, again, I'm going to say it's rumors. It could be absolutely false. I doubt that I doubt that there's no, like, merit to any of these rumors. I think that sometimes they send out fillers.
But yeah.
Let's treat them like that. It's not like, let's not
freak out. I just want to throw one thing out there. I do think, before we get back onto the topic of Wonder Woman, I do feel like we are completely, like, spoiled by Marvel.
Absolutely.
Like, we are spoiled. So spoiled by Marvel. Yeah. Like, the fact that, like, this, we have to all agree that this has literally never been done before.
Never.
We've never had, like, characters in and out, literally like the comic books, within mm-hmm. mediums that not only are on the big screen, but they're also in television now with adding in Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And we're going to have Loki soon, too. So mm-hmm. it's like, these go insane. In and out.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. Like, that the level of planning that they have to have in foresight to mm-hmm. get all that to work, and you have to have your writers work together, like, that's nuts.
That's insane.
Like we all need to agree that that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like we're spoiled, and sometimes I feel like we're really hard on DC, mm-hmm. but, like, who owns DC right now?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, look at Warner Brothers with Harry Potter. Like, they were literally handed a novel that was, like, doing so well,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they didn't even wait for the series to be finished.
They really messed up. Like, that was messed up. That was just...
Like, they didn't have consistent writers the whole time, but people loved it, like, because that was the standard. The standard was, for a long time, that, like, people just wanted to be entertained. So, like, they didn't necessarily need, like, the writing to be better. But, like, I really feel like with streaming and just the way entertainment is now, how it's so accessible, it's like, people need to up their game.
People need to up their game. Yeah, I think that's just the way it is. But Disney, I feel like Disney has basically taking all the good writers. Like, look at just look at the crew. Like, Taika, James Gunn, you know, the Russo brothers. Like, all these people.
What did I and just read just about took, Misha?
They scooped. What's her name? Zhao.
Yes.
They scooped her.
No, she's been working on Eternals for a while.
No, I know. But they scooped her way before. They found her a director who won an Oscar.
Yeah.
But even for Chuan and Oscar, they already found her. They scouted her, found her, scooped her. And now, like, you have a like, recent Oscar winner. Someone who won so many awards in the awards season. An insane amount of awards in the awards season. And she's working on Eternals. Like, can you imagine just how massive, just how, like, Disney values good writers.
Yes.
Disney values good storytelling.
Well, so did
that's
Stan Lee.
That's exactly.
Which is why I think, because let's be honest, they acquired Marvel just before they acquired Star Wars.
True.
And Star Wars, the writing on that, this most recent one, was not phenomenal.
Was not.
They really did not plan that trilogy out well.
They did not.
So it's like, I wouldn't say it's just Disney. I would say specifically the Marvel department, who relied heavily on Stan Lee and Stan Lee's theory. Absolutely. And Stan Lee really values characters, or really valued, I should say, characters being relatable.
That's true.
And that's what they did with Iron Man. They took Iron Man and they made him as relatable as possible.
Yeah. And I think that's, you look at Kevin Feige, I think they're trying to recreate the Kevin Feige effect with Dave Filoni.
In Star Wars.
Having someone who's worked within Marvel, fell in love, just loves Marvel so much, and they just promoted him to the head honcho. Like, hey, dude, go for it.
You mean Star Wars?
For Marvel. Like, with Marvel, how the Marvel design. How Kevin Feige was just part of
work. He was pretty high up, though.
Yeah, he was really high up, but then he was given this total control.
Yes.
Like, run the thing, right? And then, like, Dave Filoni, we could tell, like, we watched the one episode of The Cooking Show that, what's his name, does.
Oh.
And as you listen to the conversation, you could tell, like, you're like, this guy is really into Star Wars. He loves it. He gets it. And I think that it just made sense. Just make it, recreate what you did with Kevin Feige, with Dave Filoni.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Filoni is going to take Star Wars. I think he's going to take Star Wars to places that we could have never imagined.
And
I think
Dave Filoni literally learned from George Lucas.
Literally. And he brings his own, you know, unique tastes and unique skills. And I think that's something that I'm super excited for, because that's, but that just shows, but that's the Disney design though.
Yes.
The Disney design is you bring in people that are better than you, give them the job, let them run things. And that's how Disney did things, you know, like that's why his empire is still going nuts even after he's long gone.
But back to Wonder Woman.
Back to Wonder Woman.
Sorry, see, that was a long...
Disney, so DC has messed up so much that when we talk this, like DC, we have to cleanse our palates with some Disney.
I think here's my overall thing with Wonder Woman. I still believe it's a good movie.
I agree.
I still believe it's a good movie. I still, like... I mean, pretty much like all DC movies, I don't love their fight scenes. I think their choreography is a little off. I feel like they walk this line between real life and cartoony. And like, instead of just choosing one, they walk this weird fine line in the middle, which I don't love.
Some of those jumps were weird.
Yeah, like, it's just strange.
Weird.
It's okay. Again, though, I think there's lots of empowering moments in this movie. I love when she won't go to the front line because she needs to save that town. Yeah. You know, and she does. Yeah. She does save the town. Cool. Like, I love that part.
I got goosebumps from that. That scene was, it always
gives going across the goosebumps, field, and she's got her shield. Like, that part is crazy. Yeah. Like, I freaking love that part.
I didn't get that this, though. Like, what? I was like, why? We can't see what she's doing.
Oh, when she takes her hair out?
I was like, we was she taking her hair out?
She's taking her hair out and taking her, and getting her costume on.
Wait, she was changing clothes?
It's kind of lame.
I didn't know.
Her clothes are under, but she's like getting.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, she's shaking. I can't see. The only thing I saw different was the crown.
Yeah, she puts her crown on and she takes her hair down.
But then they just show her doing like shaking.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
I was like, come on, you guys. Don't listen to Zack Snyder. You gotta listen to Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder loves his slow-mo. Like, we should find out what percentage of Zack Snyder movies are in slow motion. It's gotta be something like 70%.
Literally half. Half of the Zack Snyder
cut. I would say 70%. Like, it's gotta be higher. Like, sometimes I'm like, is it buffering? What's happening? So slow.
Okay, here's my I'll end it here.
Okay,
you have your fastest person, right? The Flash, and he literally got half of those slow mos. I'm like, dude, he's the Flash, but you're making him so slow the whole time. It makes no sense.
Stop! You're killing me. It makes no sense.
So, anyways,
stop. That's too funny. Why is the Flash going slow?
All the time.
Oh my god. Yeah, so like, I don't think that there's no harm in being like, hey, I really love Wonder Woman. Like, and I love that movie. Because, again, I do think it's good, but I think that we do need to ask ourselves, like, was it necessary for an icon like Wonder Woman? And like, to be honest, like, this movie was a big deal because Marvel is what, at that point, Marvel was like 5 or 6 movies in,
right?
And like, they had not had one female lead movie where the movie was named after her. Captain Marvel came out years later. So it's like, it was a big deal. Like, we have to agree, like, that's a big deal.
That's a bold move.
It was a bold move.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, there's also capitalism. Like, they want their character to be well-liked. I feel like it's just now happening after, like, 2020 being as wild as it was.
Yeah.
That now people are starting to feel comfortable, like, having uncomfortable conversations. I feel like that's just now becoming a thing.
It's kind of sad though, because, like, you know, Captain Marvel, even though she got a lot of hate, a lot of hate, Captain Marvel made tons of money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Captain Marvel made tons of money. Like, I think...
I saw it 3 times in theaters.
Yeah, right. Like, to be honest with you, like, they did well. They did really well. I think they made over $1 billion. They made over $1 billion just off. Like, worldwide box office was over $1 billion. Yeah. I don't even know how to count.
Count that number.
I'll say billions. But, like, it was over $1 billion. And so it was a very successful movie. And I think that's something that, despite all the hate, which I think some of it comes from DC people, you know, a lot of DC fans, I think, also kind of threw some shade at Captain Marvel just to try and slow down
Disney's success. Shazam came out like only a month later, and like, I'm sorry, anyone who, like, Shazam's a good movie, guys, but it's not as good as Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is amazing. A freaking masterpiece.
Was a masterpiece.
That movie is so good.
But it got so much hate because a lot of misogyny, a lot of hate, a lot of stuff happened there. But despite all of that, it made tons of money. It made tons of money. And it was a success. And I think that's something that Disney recognizes. Disney, like, looks at the numbers and they're like, It works, even when they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad that, you know, doing the right thing is profitable for them because, you know, it's a company.
Well, and they're getting bolder in that direction. Like, look at WandaVision. Nothing has ever been done like WandaVision before. Right. That's
super bold.
That's super bold. Yeah. And I thought Falcon and Winter Soldier, some of the stuff that they touched on in that show, like, I was like, I can't believe that this is in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Like, I can't believe that I get to watch this in the freaking Marvel Universe.
Yeah, incredible.
Like, I could not even believe some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like, I guess, like, my takeaway for Wonder Woman would be, I definitely still love it. Like, I don't want anyone to take this as, like, I don't love it. And, like, it does feel a little nitpicky, I feel like, in some ways, to be talking about the stuff that I am. And, like, I'm sure there are people who, like, disagree and be like, it's okay to, like, have an insecure character and stuff like that. But I guess, like, my thing is, this was a big deal, having a woman character coming out. Like, and being the first of her kind, really. Yeah. Like, Disney hadn't even done that yet in the Marvel, in the MCU. And they chose, instead of having a very confident woman who, like, knew her mission.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, they went highly naive.
Right.
They went with a sex scene.
Yeah.
They had her pining over a guy. Yeah. Like, you know, I think that really bugs me about this movie. And it's not that I can't still like the movie and I can't still watch the movie and I can't still enjoy it. Yeah. I can. But I just think, like, it would have been so much more powerful if she was more powerful. And if we didn't have, like, these things that just honestly feel like male gaze to me. Like, male gaze. Yeah. Like, these are things that, like, men want to see in a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's my biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Awesome. So we're going to wrap this up.
Yes, we are. So we're going to take a 2-week break and we are going to be back in a few weeks. We really want to do some current stuff because we have not been able to talk about the Falcon and Winter Soldier or WandaVision. WandaVision. There's some other new ones that came out that I can't think of off the top of my head.
You have basically Black Widow coming soon.
Oh, Shang-Chi. Loki.
There's just so much. Loki. So much stuff is coming up. We kind of want to come up with a new system that allows us to discuss those whilst also having series. That will like place at different spots. I think that'll be fun.
But we will definitely be back mid-June. We're going to be talking about Falcon Winter Soldier as our Juneteenth episode. It's not coming out on Juneteenth. It's coming out a few days before, but it's dedicated to Juneteenth.
Yeah.
So just because that series, if you haven't watched it,
insane.
I don't know what you're doing with your life. Yeah. So good.
So good. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you in a few weeks.